So if you could be here around 9, that would be great. Okay?
Well, listen here.
Hi, I'm Miss H.
And I'm obviously Mr. O.
We're talking about the last 3 episodes of Love is Blind, which includes 9 and 10 and the Tell, once again, very little.
Yeah, they called it a reunion, though. So they were mixing it up a little bit.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, that's good.
All right,
on
so
them.
We're just going to jump right into the episodes. So most of the episodes, or at least most of the groups, we started with Bachelor and Bachelorette Party Night. So just like everything else, they have to share a Bachelorette night. And on the party bus they start on, it's just the 5 women from the show, which concerned me that it would be just like the lamest Bachelorette party ever. And they start the night with shots before a very hands-on stripper shows up. And there is much wooing. Jessica in particular expresses her concern about the wild shenanigans the guys are getting up to, because no doubt they got a stripper too. Then we quick cut to the guys' party, which literally looks like an art gallery fundraiser cocktail party. It's super laid back. Instead of strippers, there are hors d'oeuvres. I mean, yeah, people are still getting pretty sloshed, and Barnett's shirt became mostly unbuttoned at some point, but it was all in all a pretty reserved affair. They also had some casino games, but no one was betting any real money. And the guys just said a bunch of stuff to their friends that they've really already said on the show many, many times before. Except for Mark, who says that he and Jessica finally have had sex. All right. Then we switch back to the girls' party, where they've gotten to a drag club. And outside, before they come in, Amber is already to the point where she's crying drunk. And Jessica's already slurring her speech. But at least, hey, their friends are at the drag club. Right, so the only new information we gather is from when Kelly is talking to her friends, and she says that she isn't all that physically attracted to Kenny, and feels more like a friend. Kelly's friend tells her that she has a bad picker when it comes to men. Then the bachelorette party kind of ends with a really strange exchange between Amber and Jessica. They were both extremely drunk, and Jessica kind of tells Amber that she can have Barnett, since she is totally over him. And Amber tells Jessica that if she would have tried taking Barnett, she would have broken her face. And the real reason it was strange is because the whole time they were talking to each other, they were just like stroking each other's faces and were really, really close to each other. And then Jessica kissed her and was like, I couldn't tell if she was trying to make out with Amber. Like I said, it was weird, but that's kind of where we left it off. So just weird.
Yeah, definitely weird. I thought it was interesting that the girls got a stripper, but then the boys didn't. I felt like that was a bit of a double standard.
Yes, absolutely. I don't know. It also always goes into the differential between like male strippers and female strippers. Whereas when it always gets the vibe that, you know, a male stripper at a bachelorette party is more like about fun and goofiness, and like, you know, traditional female strippers are always like a little bit more gross, a little bit more seedy, you know, kind of guys that are like really into it in the wrong kind of way. Not like having fun, but of like, you know, like the creepy gross guys, and they don't want to have creepy gross guys on the show. You know, it's definitely a different vibe between a male strip club and a female strip club.
Yeah, and I'm like very thankful that they didn't, because the last time I can remember seeing a stripper was Matt and Ola from 90 Day Fiancé, and that was super uncomfortable.
So I said that, and all I could think of was David from the new 90 Day Fiancé, who was just like,
Oh, gross. So disgusting. Okay, so I'm happy production made a decision not to include the strippers for the guys, but I didn't, like I said, I felt bad that there was definitely a double standard there.
Sure. Yeah.
Because the girls were getting into it. They were like spanking the stripper, and I'm just like,
yeah. And that's what I'm saying. It's a big deal between, like, you know, spanking the male stripper versus a guy putting his hands on a female stripper. That feels a lot worse.
I'm like, just don't touch me. It's so weird. You're like a walking STD, please. Just don't touch
just stay with me. I'm not a fan of strippers myself, and I find it extremely uncomfortable. Like, why? I don't know.
I mean, it's definitely uncomfortable. I remember when I was in college, they had hired a stripper for my friend's birthday. And I was in a sorority, but I wasn't living in the sorority house. And so this guy had come to the sorority house. And I remember that everyone was invited, you know, so you could have gone to like see the stripper for this girl's birthday. And I happened to be at the house because I was dropping something off with my big sis. And I mm-hmm. was there when he got there. And so I didn't know that this was the stripper. So it was just some random guy. I mean, he looks like a normal guy. It's not like he came up and was like dressed in uniform or something weird.
Oh, he didn't do the cop thing like this stripper?
No, he was just dressed in regular clothes. And I remember when I was leaving, I just hear so much screaming, and I'm just like, okay, for one, I feel bad for strippers that they have to deal with just so much squealing and screaming. I'm just like, ah. Right. But I don't know, like, it just makes me really uncomfortable. I'm like, I need to get out of here now.
Yeah, all right. I'm on board. All right, so the couples.
Yeah. Okay, the couples. Let's start off with Lauren and Cameron, because I was actually kind of surprised that there was still doubt, or at least they definitely were playing up doubt, because I always thought they were the most solid couple. But we get mm-hmm. Lauren and Cameron having a dinner in a cute treehouse surrounded by bamboo, where they're going to stay the night. It's set up with pictures from filming, and I don't know if you happen to notice this, but production definitely used these gold wine glasses in everybody's scenes. So they refer to themselves as Caesar and Cleopatra, as Lauren is deep in thought about how this relationship is going to affect the rest of her life and her independence. They are using wooden chairs as tables for their food, and they check in about where they stand, and Lauren says she's leaning towards a yes. Cameron thought he had it locked down, so he's a little nervous that she hasn't given an enthusiastic yes. Cameron and Lauren are discussing their vows, and Lauren says she wants to be surprised. Cameron is acting quiet, and Lauren knows something is wrong, so she asks him, and he says that he is unsure of what she's going to say, and that makes him sad. Lauren says she's still not 100% sure, and she doesn't want to lie to him about it. He pours his heart out and says that he is 100% sure he wants to marry her. He's overwhelmed that he could possibly lose her. It's the day of the wedding. Lauren gets some quality time with her mom, who thinks that Lauren is the kind of person who tries anything at least once, and she gives hints that she's a little skeptical. Lauren says that even though she feels a deep connection to Cameron, she will just make her decision when the time comes. Cameron is talking to his friends and saying that he's unsure if she will actually say yes. Cameron gets some time with his mom, and he says that he would be devastated if Lauren said no. His mom says that she never pictured him getting married because she still sees him at 12 years old. Lauren's dad stops by the room to walk her out, and he immediately starts crying, which then makes her cry. He says some nice fatherly things about how he loves her, then we cut to the wedding. Cameron immediately starts crying when he sees Lauren. We get a much more charismatic officiant this time around, and a very dramatic pause as we are waiting for Lauren to say I do. Cameron has the biggest smile, and everybody looks on happily as she does say I do. He whispers that he will always take care of her. And since this show, in the after show, we find that Lauren says she has never been happier. All right. So what do you think about Lauren's strategy of just kind of deciding when she's at the altar and, you know, she's being put on the spot because they're asking her if she does or not?
I'm not sure if that was her honest strategy. And we're going to get into this later in the show. That was clearly like they made all of them go up to that altar, no matter when they made their decision.
Oh, yeah.
They made them all go up there. And so I don't know. I don't know if she... if that was a thing or if that was really just her playing along with them and being like, yeah, sure, I'm in doubt. I don't know. I have to feel how I feel in the moment. Because we've talked about that before, right, with other people in other shows. That's a terrible way to go about your life.
Stupid Tom. Make
huge life decisions based on the way I feel in the
how
moment.
How I feel. See where the moment takes me.
Yeah.
That's what I immediately thought of, too, when she said that. I was like... no, you need to make a decision now because then at least it's based on logic rather than like, let's see how I feel. Like because who knows? Are you going to be cranky? You know, maybe like especially days of the wedding, you hear it all the time. People don't get to eat. There's a lot of waiting around at the beginning, right? So are you going to be hungry? Are you going to be cranky?
Yeah.
Are you going to be tired because you were nervous from before? Like, leaving this up to chance, like how you feel at the moment, seems like a terrible idea.
Or rushed, because I don't know how they spaced these weddings out, because they were all the weddings were at the same place. Well, almost all the weddings were at the same place.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
And so, like, did they get, was this like one weekend and they cranked through all the weddings? And, like,
I think they did, because, yeah, it must have been over 2 days, I think, because it was clearly raining for half of their weddings. And so I'm going to make the assumption that those were on the same day. But then the weather was a little bit different for the other half. And so that must have been a different day.
Right.
But yeah, this was definitely a wedding factory.
Yes. And so, like, this was, you would have been really rushed at the time, right? So I could see making some bad choices on that. Maybe he just felt bad. He didn't like his stupid face right then. He could make all kinds of different decisions.
Yeah, I'm just like, oh, that seems like a terrible idea. I really like their families, though. And I feel like the fact that they have such a supportive family, you know, and we kind of were led to believe that her dad would be hard to win over, but he seems like a real softy.
Yeah, yeah, he is. He is. I mean, he clearly cares a lot about her, so.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
I want to go back to random things that you brought up. Did that stupid treehouse not have a table? Why were they eating on chairs? I don't understand.
I don't know. Yeah, I feel like, what setup is this? Like, they said at first that they were going there for dinner, and then it said they were spending the night there. So it's like, what was this treehouse, like, meant for?
Yeah, I mean, it's clearly, like, Shake Shack. It's like in this weird fake bamboo forest that they have.
It was just very picturesque.
You know, have sex in, and then they go, yeah.
I don't know. That would be a weird place to have sex in, because it was literally like, it's those like weird cabin houses where it's like not made of logs, but the opposite, where it's like completely made of windows.
Yes.
Well, like a glass house but they on had it, stilts
they
almost.
They had it in that forest. So I think that's a kind of a turn on for people, where it's like, you know, nobody can see you.
It's weird.
But it kind of feels like somebody might be able to see you.
Like, yes, that's so weird to me, especially because it's like, you're not the only one who knows you're out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, but production just followed you out there.
Oh, like there was cameras and people. Sure, sure.
Yeah.
I don't know. Everybody, it was weird because I'll mention it in mine. Everybody had their own like getaway thing. And I don't know. That one, it would have been a lot nicer if it wasn't pouring rain when they went.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So like you said, everybody has their own getaway, but everyone had the same stupid gold wine glasses.
I heavily mentioned the gold wine glasses. It was so weird. What are these wine glasses? I think everybody just gave everybody the same set of like silverware or whatever. They just moved it from place to place.
Oh, right. Like you could tell it was that little picnic set or whatever, because there was like that little wicker basket, like, and I'm sure it came with everything, but
yes.
Yeah, it is kind of funny when you like notice things like that, because, you know, production said that they were running on a shoestring budget, considering that they did at this point, they hadn't been picked up by anyone. So they were definitely operating on a very small budget. And I think in little ways, it's kind of you can pick up on things.
Yeah, the wedding venue being all the same. Okay. So let me go my first one. Kenny and Kelly, I'm going to start with. All right. So we're getting ready for the weddings. And just like every other couple, they have their one last romantic getaway set up by production. Kenny and Kelly's getaway is a picnic on a dock overlooking some lake. They have the same gold-plated wine glasses everybody else has, but nothing really notable happens. Then it's wedding day. And like I said, I don't know. It was really why it was so disorienting to me that all the weddings were at the same place, except for one.
Yeah.
But anyway, Kenny's hanging out saying, I don't know, not really much. The same kind of stuff. Are you sure, dude? Oh, I guess I'm sure. In the wine cellar that they put the guys in to get ready for. And Kelly is getting her makeup on and expressing her doubts to everyone. She says she's never really felt infatuated with Kenny the way she has about previous boyfriends. And that kind of worries her. She thinks maybe she just isn't that into him. Her sister basically tells her that whatever she decides to do is going to be right. But Kenny is clearly the best dude she's ever brought home. Then comes the actual ceremony. And by the time they get to them, we're starting to get a feel for how their wedding formula works. Like everybody gets the same wedding. They all basically have the same wedding. Everybody comes down the aisle. They do their vows that they all had to write. And then the officiant asks for the I do's, and there's always the long dramatic pause for each one. They edit it all to hell, and they play dramatic music after he says, you know, do you. So in this one, he asks Kelly first, who does the long dramatic pause with the dramatic music crescendoing. And then she says, I don't. She gives Kenny the old, I love you, but I'm not in love with you kind of thing, and then walks out. Honestly, Kenny doesn't seem all that surprised, and he kind of is composed and thanks everyone for coming out and then leaves the room to go have a moment back in the wine cellar. In the wine cellar, it's a little weird because he has this whole thing where production's asking him basic, like the basic questions you would expect to hear, like, how do you feel now? Do you still love her? Are you still in a relationship? And he just says, I'm not answering those questions now, and yells at them to stop filming. And then that's pretty much where we leave them. So at the reunion show, we learn that Kelly is still single and that Kenny is in a relationship with somebody else, which really takes the whole sting out of being dumped at the altar. Kelly tells us that they both kind of agreed they wouldn't actually get married well before the ceremony. And this whole thing has taught her that maybe she is friend-zoned way too many guys. So,
yeah,
that whole ceremony was a fraud, right? Like, yeah, she did not decide, I mean, at that moment, and he already knew.
No, I don't think anyone, you know, did. But it's kind of interesting because they were definitely portrayed as kind of like not the golden couple, because that was definitely Lauren and Cameron, but definitely one of the more stable couples. And looking back on this, because this is my second time watching this, it was like you could pick up on little things that made it seem like that I missed the first time through. Little things that were just like, oh, well, it doesn't seem like she's that into him, or at least she's hinting that there are doubts. Like the fact that she said that she wasn't attracted to him because he's not typically who she goes for. She never date a blonde. She's like, I'm into brunettes.
That's a weirdly specific thing to say. Yeah.
That was
like fine, looking for a reason to say why I don't think he's attractive, but she just doesn't think he's that attractive.
Right. I mean, he's, I think, objectively attractive, and maybe he's not your type.
Yes.
Yeah. And I mean, that's fine if he's not your type, but you're like, yeah, he's an attractive guy. But the thing that I think is weird is like, if she knew this was going to be such a barrier for her, like physical attractiveness, because that seems to be the only barrier at this point, right? Why are you going on this show?
Right.
It's a crapshoot. You could have like dated anyone, right? And if you're like not open to dating someone who's not your physical type, then it's like, this seems like lost cause. Like, why
right.
even
it's
try?
It's almost like I didn't realize I wasn't open to dating somebody who's not my physical type until I tried to date somebody who's not my physical type. You know, I feel like a lot of people went into the show thinking, wow, I am still single and, you know, trying not to be.
Yeah.
And maybe it's because I'm always going for the same type of guys. And maybe if I learn to like somebody first before I get to know them, and she kind of, and sometimes that experiment fails, right? You do that and you're like, nope.
Yeah.
I really need my type. That's my takeaway.
Yeah, my takeaway is that Kelly is super shallow, that she definitely prioritizes her physical attraction in a relationship. Because even like when she was kind of talking about what she thought was missing from their relationship, it was when she was comparing it to her relationship with this other guy that she was just infatuated with. And she kept on saying, like, I was infatuated with this guy. It's like, those are not that should not be the basis of a relationship. I was infatuated with someone. I just had these really strong physical, I just had to have him right there. It's like, no, what is wrong with you? This is the reason why you're single.
Right. And part of it, as I was like, oh, well, you're talking about this other relationship. How did that relationship end up? You're together with him?
Yeah, terribly.
Oh, it ended terribly, didn't it? Huh. Maybe you should try something different. Well, because it's not just what we saw from her either, or what she's talking. Her friends were like, you suck at picking men. You're terrible at it.
Yes, she does.
And so her sister too was like, you finally picked a guy who is not a total loser. And now you're like, I don't know. Just not that into it. Like, oh my God.
Yeah, I mean, She's not the only one that's like that. There are plenty of girls do the exact same thing. It's like, well, and what did they say? It's like, I didn't feel that spark with someone. It's like, okay, it really bothers me because I feel like there are intangible things when it comes to, you know, feeling things for other people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I get that love in itself is somewhat squishy, intangible, and immeasurable, right?
Sure.
But I also feel like there is an aspect of making the decision to love someone. And I mean, like, and the reason why I really believe that is look at all of these marriages, like arranged marriages, you know, that work out just fine. And these people are together forever. And, you know, I would say that they would say that they're happy, and it's because they're choosing to be. So I
right.
do think there is some element of you're choosing to be in this relationship. You're choosing to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
And you could choose that whether or not you feel these, like, you know,
intense,
undescribable.
Like, yeah. Well, and they,
like,
they
feelings
seem
for things
require that it be just like intense and all consuming and, like,
yeah,
you know, defining it, like, that's
not sustainable.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
It's not sustainable. You don't know when that's going to be gone, and then when that's gone, what do you have left? And I
right.
mean, hopefully you have, like, an actual connection with these people where you do have something. And I mean, I would say that is true of a lot of, like, non-arranged marriages. You know,
mm-hmm.
ones that are successful. It probably did start off with these, like, all-consuming infatuation, you know, feelings. And then they actually were able to build on something that they were just like, wow, I really respect this person. And I'm going to choose to love them even though, you know, every day isn't a good day.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. There's something. Yeah. That's going to. You're right. That's going to fade. And there has to be something left when it does.
Yeah, but it's like, I don't understand, like, why she that's a requirement. And I get, yeah, it makes it more fun at the beginning, but, you know, like, once again, it's not sustainable, so who cares?
But I just feel like a lot of people, like, if it's not fun at the beginning, then why were you in it in the first place? Like, people have unreasonable expectations for love. And we talked about this, you know, when people break up and stuff, is if you don't mm-hmm. have a certain level of comfort and, you know, self-love, like, for lack of a better term, right?
Yeah.
And respect for yourself, it's someone else is not going to change that for you, right? Someone else
right.
is not going to come in and make your life feel whole if you don't feel whole without that person.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so Kenny said that he had given up trying to find love before he went on the show. I'm like, dude, you're 27. What the hell? Wow.
Right.
Some people
especially
are
since,
so weird.
Especially since he was the one who found somebody else, like, after the show was over.
Yes. So obviously you shouldn't have given up. Jeez.
Right.
We're ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's like those people who are always like, this is my last shot at love. It's like, is it?
Yeah. Especially when you're like 27. Yeah.
I know.
Mid-20s,
you're
and they're
so,
like, oh,
so young.
This will never happen again.
So
I don't
young.
Believe in love anymore.
Okay, so after the wedding, when he's, like, getting in that fight with production, it seemed like, it's like,
mm-hmm.
I don't understand. Why can't you just leave? Are you contractually obligated to stay in the wine cellar for a certain amount of time?
Here's my theory. My theory. Grand theory. Based on nothing.
Yeah.
Is that she told him before the wedding. Okay?
Sure.
I think she's a good enough
oh,
person
I'm sure
that
he
she
knew.
Told him beforehand. He knew.
Yeah.
My conspiracy theory is that wine cellar scene was shot before the wedding.
Huh.
And it was him, like, in the wine cellar doing their thing. He's like, she told him before the wedding. Production knew she told
yeah.
him. And so they asked him right then. And he had to stay because he had to do this stupid fake wedding.
Oh, okay. Eh.
And they just
kind of
put
fit.
It out of order.
That's interesting. All right. Moving on. Let's cover Janina and Damien. So Giannina comes home to rose petals littered in a path to stage a surprise where Damien had picked out an outfit and tells her to change into a dress and heels he's laid out for her and meet him downstairs. She is so happy and tells us that if someone told her this would happen a month and a half ago, she would punch you in the face. Damien has surprised Janina with a helicopter ride, and she has to traipse through the fields in her heels. So Damien carries her the rest of the way and tries to squeeze her into the helicopter with some difficulty. They come back to the apartment where they're greeted by a personal chef, which Janina says was perfect. Damien is acting like this will be the last time he will see her as he keeps referring to the last night to cuddle and kiss. You know, that is, before the wedding. Mm-hmm. He then confronts her about the comment that she has made about losing her butterflies. Damien questions her about her changing feelings. Janina admits that it was insensitive of her to tell him the way that she did. She was pleasantly surprised that he took the news and tried to do more to make her happy. She says that the butterflies are back, but says she's scared that maybe they'll go away again. She says she doesn't know how they work, and she just is trying to be honest as she can. Damien is recapping that there have been a lot of arguments, her changing her mind, hurtful things being said. He is clearly on the fence about everything. Janina says that she pushed Damien and challenged him because she wanted to know how he would react when things got hard. Damien says that he falls in love with Janina more every day. Janina says that he does something every day to make her feel loved. Janina writes Damien a weird poem about making decisions and gives him a pair of socks for keeping his cold feet warm. Janina starts to walk down the aisle, and Damien immediately starts crying. The ceremony proceeds, and when asked if Damien takes Janina Milady Jabelli as his wife, he says he does not. She quickly retracts her hands from his, and her mom looks like she's going to throw down. He tries to explain himself to her and puts it on her, saying that he sees that she's not ready. She's crying and runs out, and Damien and her mom go after her. We get a dramatic runaway bride scene, and Janina is desperately trying to get away, which means walking barefoot and slipping down a slope of mud. Her mom finally catches up to her and is just crying and telling her she should have been the one to say no, not him. We see where Janina gets her dramatics from because her mom exclaims that she was just about to faint and would have died. Damien is justifying his decision to say no by saying that her actions have shown him she wasn't ready and he wasn't actually expecting her to be all in and say yes. Janina feels like she is the victim and something happened to her. She goes back to confront Damien and asks why he didn't say something before. Damien says that she doesn't realize how what she says comes off, and Janina says that she has been nothing but honest. He asks her not to run because he loves her. He says that what he did was embarrassing. She rips off part of her dress and says he can now have her bow back. Damien hopes there's still a chance that they can come back together. On the after show, we see that they are back together, and Janina says that she really just can't live without Damien. Okay. So, my question for you... Oh, I actually didn't write a question. Well, what was your take on this whole thing?
I don't understand either of these people. Why did she rip a part of her dress and give it to him?
You know why? I'll tell you exactly why. This girl and her mother have watched way too many telenovelas.
Telenovelas?
Like, that was my first thought. These people are so freaking dramatic. Like, her mom was like, first of all, she looked like she was going to fight the dude when she was like in the wedding and he said no. And then she runs after him and she's just like so dramatic. I was like, what are we watching here? She was like, I almost fainted. I just could have died in there. You should have been the one to say no. And her mom was just like over the top, so dramatic. And you're like, yes, this is exactly where Janina gets this from. Because Janina is so crazy too. And then her ripping her old dress at the end, that was something that was just like supposed to be like a mic drop. Like, I have the last say. I'm going to get like last burn in. But it was super dramatic. Like, this is something you would have seen on a soap opera. Like, real people. Well, I shouldn't say real people because obviously she's a real person. Your average person is not doing some ridiculous, like, symbolic, like, oh.
I didn't even know what it was supposed to symbolize because he did the both, which I never understand in the first place.
No, it made no sense. Like, oh, whatever. But it's just, she was just being dramatic. Like, she was, Well, I mean, she is on a television show, but I mean, right, she was like, oh, I am, this is a scripted television show and I'm going to act dramatic for you.
Right. Oh, I just, yeah. I mean, I neither of these people are people I could jive with, because he is dramatic too and kind of pretends like he's not.
He's more low-key dramatic.
Right.
That is true. This is the kind of person, Damien is the kind of person that on his dating profile, he says, I don't like drama.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Right. But I am always wary of that person because it's like, all right, most people who aren't involved in drama never don't actually have to say it. Yeah. Right. Because it's just like, okay, I just don't deal with drama. Like, that's nice. The reason why someone says, I don't like drama is because they seem to always have it around them. And, right? You know, it's like, well, guess what? You don't like drama, but you seem to attract drama because guess what? You're drama.
Yeah. Yeah. It was just, oh. And then this one was cut so weird. They had his, like, shaking bottom lip. Where he was like, I do not. I mean, yeah. They kind of deserve each other, to be fair. But
they do. I think they make a cute-ish couple.
I was very confused about her, like, where she ran to, because they kind of made it look like this was a place that was, like, you know, grass-filled. It was, like, looked almost suburban, and they pulled up to it, and she ran away, and she fell on the grass. And then when her mom met her, she was at the top of a parking garage, and I don't know where this was. It looked like she was in this. Like, how far did she run?
I don't know. Not a whole lot. I mean, she couldn't have made it very far. She was barefoot. Because, I mean, she had to take off her heels. I mean, was carrying her heels. Okay. I will have one, like, behind-the-scenes note. Because people were just like, oh, this was so staged because she fell in the mud. And then all of a sudden later when she's talking to Damien, her dress was clean. Like, how did that happen? And so I guess she came on to, like, interview saying that, like, she had scrubbed the hell out of her dress, like, in the bathroom. And so, like, it was not filmed out of order, but that's the reason why her dress was magically clean.
Okay, so did you notice that at the beginning, he gave her that present and said, wear this, which actually works for her. I don't know. I couldn't do that.
I mean, he picked it out of her closet.
Yeah,
so it's
but
not
it's
like
always...
he bought something. Yeah, and to me, that's creepy. Like, don't tell me what to wear. That's weird. I want to see you in this little number. It's like, gross. Don't tell me what to wear.
Exactly. But did you notice the present look exactly like an Animal Crossing present?
You need to stop with that. I swear, like, people will post random things, and my first thought is like, oh, Animal Crossing, and I'm just like, no, I've been playing it way too much. My friend posted a picture of, like, lilies, and I was just like, oh, no. It was like the first thing I was thinking was like, oh, I should, like, pick this up and plant it somewhere. I was like, oh, wait, this is real life. I can't just do that. But yes, I did notice.
Okay, yes.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, I think that was just about all I had for them.
Yeah, so I actually did try to look up to see if they were still together. And by all accounts, they are still together. So, I mean, I actually have hope for them. And I do believe that Damien was truthful in that, you know, that he thought that she wasn't ready. Mm-hmm. And I think, like, not to be completely selfless, like, I'm doing this for you, but more so for himself. Like, you know, if you're not ready, that means we might get divorced 6 months down the line. Right?
Right.
And so because, you know, this could end terribly and now I'm kind of stuck with you and now there's all these, you know, challenges we have to deal with because, you know, now we are legally married. So I kind of feel like, yeah, it was somewhat like for her, but really like inevitably for him as well. And so I definitely feel like this was the best decision that he could have made because, I mean, they seem to have worked it out. And I think that they really are a couple that needs more time because they are volatile.
Right.
You know, like, I wouldn't want to date someone I was fighting with all the time like this.
I feel like the mistake was not so much that he said, I do not, but that she clearly didn't know he was going to say, I do not.
Yeah, right.
And so that was the biggest issue is he should have given her a heads up beforehand.
Yeah,
so that way
definitely.
She could have said no, right? Because she would have.
Yeah.
Right. So, but it made for more dramatic TV. All right, Barnett and Amber.
Yeah, definitely.
So for their final romantic moment, Barnett and Amber are sitting at a fire pit in a vineyard drinking from those weird-ass gold chalices. Honestly, if I had to pick one of the romantic getaways from this week, this would probably be one that I would want to do. But I digress.
Oh, yeah.
This was the best one by far. On wedding day, they get to wedding day. And at wedding day, Amber is freaking out because Barnett texted her about being nervous and then dropped off the face of the earth. So she doesn't know what's going on with him or if he's even going to show up. But he does show up at his appointed time and hangs out in the wine cellar just like everybody else. His is weird, though, because he's kind of like alone in the wine cellar. Everybody else had like guys around. Yeah.
Friends. All right. Yeah.
Yeah. As the wedding begins, Amber and her mom have a weird moment where the mom says that she should fight for what she wants. And Amber's like, oh, I did. And then the mom immediately goes to, well, you shouldn't have to fight for what you want. And she's and
yeah, Amber's like, that was
what are
weird.
You talking about? You just told me to fight for it. She's like, fine. It's fine, mom. It was very confusing. Anyway, the wedding starts and we only hear Amber's vows. We actually don't get to see what Barnett says, but her vows sound exactly like her all the time. She didn't like gussy it up or sound fancier than she always sounds. She was being Amber. And then they get to the moment of truth. And they really, really added a bunch of dramatic pausing, music, faces. They did some weird editing cuts in before Amber says yes pretty quickly. Barnett, they do a lot of cutting and he just goes, oh yeah, I do 100%. So they end up married and they have their makeshift reception there too. Amber's pretty glad that Barnett showed up and said, I do, because otherwise she would have to spend her life in jail. But implication being she would have killed him.
Yes.
At the reunion, we learned that over a year has passed and that they are still married, although they moved because Amber believed the house was haunted. Amber spends a decent amount of time yelling at Jessica for the crap she pulled trying to get with Barnett after the pods and generally being disingenuous. But it doesn't really turn into a fight because Jessica just apologizes repeatedly and doesn't engage. Mm-hmm. So that's all for them. Yeah. And I got to say, so I did not expect at the beginning for them to be one of the two couples that ended up married out of all of them.
I know, right?
So,
yeah. Cute couple.
As well as this, so as much as we went after both of these people in the earlier episodes in the pods, they kind of do work for each other, right?
Yeah. Oh, no, they absolutely do. I'm still maintaining that they are both garbage people. so they are definitely the garbage couple. But, you know, it's like attracts like, you know, birds of a feather and all of that. So, sure. I mean, it's fine. Yeah. Okay, so at the end, are we moving away from saying man and wife? Because I've noticed in a couple weddings that I've seen now, they say, I now pronounce you married.
Yes. So I wonder if they changed that once gay marriage became legal, was my thought.
Oh, that makes sense.
Right. Okay. And so that it doesn't make sense to say husband and wife but I also thought it was weird because I was like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. But then they also started off every single wedding by asking, like, who gives away this bride? And I was like, well, that doesn't fit anymore. That seems like the part I would get rid of first. Because even with gay marriage,
right,
I would be like,
I
now pronounce you husband and husband. That would be OK. I'd be fine with that.
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah, and especially if you're talking about, it would be customized, right? So it's like, if you're talking about a heterosexual couple, why can't you say man and wife or husband
exactly.
and wife? You know, it's like, I don't understand what the issue is. Yeah, because I feel like that came up on a 90 Day Fiancé marriage, and I thought it was really weird, and you could tell that the officiant, like, paused before he said, I now pronounce you... Wait, what's my line? Oh, married. And so it was just like kind of this awkward thing where that was the first time I noticed it. And then I noticed it with them and I was just like, what? Did they change this? I always feel like we were talking about like the Catholic response. I'm like, did they change this? And I just don't know what's happening.
Well, I don't think there's like, especially if you're getting married by somebody who's not in the clergy, right? Which most of them were. Like it seemed like Cam and Lauren had a clergyman there.
Yes.
I think they might have two. Because there was one that had, were they the ones with a woman? There was like the woman who clearly had the collar on.
Yeah. So they had the woman because I remember the really goofy looking guy. Yeah, he got two noses, which fake. I was like,
I don't think he was really a clergy person. I think he was like a plant by production, because when that guy talked, he said the same crap that the Lachey's said. Like, he'd be like, will you say yes, or will you turn away from love forevermore to be? And I was like, what?
I hated that guy. He was the goofiest looking guy. He had some jacked up teeth. And he had some, like, I don't know. I didn't like his face. So I was like,
yeah, so him, I thought was, I actually thought he was the guy that was like, oh, wait, that's the guy they bring in when they know the answer is no. That's him.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't even think. All I thought was like, this is two for two for this guy. I was like, but I didn't even think that, oh, well, maybe he wasn't a real guy because they weren't going to actually like get married. That makes a little bit more sense. I can see him just being like the behind the scenes, like PA or something like that. Let's talk about Barnett's jacket.
At the reunion. We're talking about the reunion jacket. The one that looked like static on the TV.
Jacket is stupid.
It was so bad.
It was so dumb. It reminded me of something like you would see a Ken doll wear. It's like
I can see that.
High fashion for a Barbie doll.
Yes, very
bold. But you
don't
expect a guy to wear that.
Black and white. I mean, so I assume when you get
satin.
To a reunion show like that.
It was
that,
very shiny.
But he wasn't wearing, like, anything underneath of it either. Like, I mean, not nothing underneath of it. He wasn't, like, you know, a stripper.
No, he was, like wearing a plain black shirt or something. Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't anything. I don't know. These guys, I don't know what's up with these guys and the refusal to wear ties. It bothers me. Like, Damien specifically was really bad about that. Like, he wore one at the wedding. But every other time he was set on the suit jacket, open collar look. And I'm like, no, I don't like that look. It's not good. Wear
well,
a
then
tie.
That's why Cameron should be your favorite. I think Cameron was the only one who wore a tuxedo to the wedding.
Hmm. I don't care about tuxedos as much, right? Because, I don't know. The tuxedo has the shiny lapels. That's the only difference between a tuxedo and a suit, is the shininess of the lapel. Not necessarily a bow tie. Okay, so my other personal pet peeve of mine, while we're going off on tangents, is when you're in a wedding and they give you a bow tie, it drives me crazy that they never let you tie the damn bow tie. They always give you a clip-on. It doesn't clip on, but it like, goes around. Like, you put it around your neck, but you clip the back of the tie, so it's already tied.
Yes,
it drives me crazy. I can tie a tie. Please let me tie a tie.
Yeah, but I would say that most people don't.
I don't care. You're a grown-up, and you have the internet. You can figure out how to tie a tie.
I know, the internet, right? Actually, my dad taught me how to tie a tie.
Okay, so I obviously can tie neckties. One time I was at a graduation.
Neckties, not a bow tie.
I was at a graduation from my school and I had to learn how to tie a bow tie because one kid came in and he like had his, you know, graduation robes on. And I think he had a bow tie hanging from his neck. And he was just like, I don't know how to tie.
I don't know what to do.
I
did
look up on my phone.
Oh,
I had another
kid
hold it up on the phone and I tied this kid's tie for him backstage at the graduation.
Aw, good on you. All right. Okay, so we have Jessica and Mark. Jessica meets up with her friends to tell her all about her Love is Blind experience. She takes off her ring to show her friends, which I thought was really weird. She really talks Mark up, but then anticipates their disapproval when she acts like it's a bombshell that Mark is only 24. After they both don't react, Jessica continues to talk Mark up, saying he's her person. Jessica and Mark are having a meal by an airstrip, and they reminisce on their time together, and Mark says that his favorite moment was first laying eyes on her. He seems to be the only one giving anything, and he wants reassurances, so he asks Jessica if she is afraid of commitment. And she says a hesitant yes as she starts to cry and share that maybe she has chosen relationships that wouldn't get her there or ran away if they did. It's their wedding day, and they get something a lot nicer than the rest of the couple so far. Mark is with his friends and says he hopes that they actually get married. He's preparing himself for both decisions. Jessica says she has butterflies and that she's nervous and excited. We get a crotch shot of Mark tucking his shirt into his pants, which is absolutely unnecessary, as Jessica was the one speaking in her interview when we happened to see it. Jessica tells us that she takes marriage and commitment very seriously. People start getting ready for the wedding. We get the goofy minister who is at Kenny and Kelly's wedding, the one that I said like has the weird teeth, which does not bode well for this couple. Jessica walks down the aisle by herself like she's a runway model. They both say very nice things to each other, but when asked if they are committing to marriage, Mark says he does, but Jessica says she does not, which surprises absolutely no one. Least of all, Mark's mom. Her friends whisper that this must be so embarrassing for her. Everyone sits in complete silence as Jessica leaves the room. Mark takes a moment before he also walks out. Mark's mom is comforting him, and Mark insists that he'll be okay, but then cries on his mom's shoulder. Jessica is sitting on her own in another room and saying that she's not sorry that she made that decision because she's a realist and could tell that this was not going to work out. Mark thinks that Jessica just lost sight of what they had. Jessica thinks that love isn't blind, but it's a mixture of mind, body, and soul. Since the show, Jessica has been in Chicago and LA trying to rediscover herself and reflect on her life. Mark is also still single, but he said that he would not take back the experience. And I think that Jessica, and this kind of blends a little bit in with Amber and Barnett, she was just very apologetic, and she just seemed to be generally embarrassed about seeing her behavior on the show. So it sounds like she was reevaluating like her drinking habits and, you know, who, making a lot of self-discovery, who she is and, you know, things like that. A lot of self-reflection, which is good on her. Okay, so where the heck are her parents? So she said that she was really close to her mom and talked to her mom like every day. And it's like, okay, you talk to your mom every... Why are they not here at this wedding? Did they... I feel like they just knew it was a sham. So they're like, oh, we're not going to make the effort to come out there.
Right, because they would have had to come because their parents are not in Atlanta, I was gathering.
No, they're in Chicago.
They're in Chicago. So, yeah, I think they're just like, we're not going to... Especially because I bet at that point they were like, do we need to come for this? Or are you just not going to get married to this dude? Like, do I really need to come out here for this? Because they had the they had the fake minister who was there for all the no's. So like we kind of
why did they get the nice venue?
I didn't understand why they got the nice venue too. It was weird.
Yeah, they were the only ones and they weren't even the real wedding. You know, it's like how did you get like that hotel they had it at was nice looking.
Yes.
Now it looked like your standard like conference room kind of done up to be like a wedding venue.
Oh, sure.
So I mean
absolutely.
In that respect it was just kind of like eh. But I mean the actual hotel it was really nice looking.
Yeah, because it would have made sense if it was like a real wedding and somebody was like, well, we'll pay extra to get a nicer venue and it'll still be on the show and everything. Like that could have made sense. But it wasn't a real wedding. It was weird.
No.
You were right. She came down the aisle like a runway model and then I didn't understand, and again, maybe it was the way they cut it, the way that Mark said yes, Mark said I do, and then they like cut to her who is all like smiling and oh, relieved and like sighing and smiling and oh, gee, oh, that's amazing. Oh, yeah. By the way, no. Like it was really weird. Like they cut to her and she seemed really excited and relieved that he had said yes. It was like, why is she smiling? Like she let out a big sigh and smiled because he said yes. It's like, what's going on here?
Yeah, definitely. All right. So I feel like there's no new news with this. We all knew Jessica was not going to say yes.
Right. Especially because this was like the last book. This is like the last one they showed. Right. And we had already kind of seen how it would work. Right. When people said no, because they kind of, you know, did that with Damon, Eugene, and Nina. They kind of cut off the first episode. Like they had the first half of the wedding and cut it off. With, is he going to say yes? And so they definitely started with a no because that was the first one they showed us because they wanted us to know like, oh, no, this is a no is a thing that can happen. Right. This is totally how it works. If somebody says no, they'll say no right now.
Yeah. Did you feel bad for Jessica at all, especially at the reunion?
No, not really. I mean,
I felt bad for her. I thought she was very classy in the way she handled, like, her mini confrontation with Amber. I mean, sure. I thought they were actually both of them handled it the best that they could have. Like, I felt like Amber had a lot of restraint, considering how fiery she has definitely been portrayed. And so I feel like that is the best outcome you're going to get from Amber.
Yeah, I definitely got the impression that that is the first time Jessica has seen herself drunk on video. And like did not know how messy and sloppy she is, you know, and she saw that and was like, oh, you know, she's the kind of person who strikes me as like thinks that a night that you couldn't remember, I don't even remember what happened last night, is a normal event and not something that only happens when you are way too drunk.
Yeah, I guess it is interesting kind of thinking on your own situation. Like, I don't know. I wonder what other people see, like, when I'm drunk.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny, though, because I'm sure she's just... because she did that before with Mark. Well, I was really drunk. And so, you know, that's it. That's my excuse. I was really drunk. What are you going to do? And
yeah, I just didn't get really drunk on every episode.
I know. That was another issue, too.
And that was the other challenge. Right. Yeah, definitely.
So the other people we saw, though, is we did at the reunion show. We didn't have a wedding for them. We saw Diamond and Carlton come back. And I don't know what you think. That was weird. They had a weird exchange.
I hate Carlton. I feel like it makes sense to me, like this whole situation or how it kind of played out, because Carlton is all about Carlton. He's all about kind of this, like, look at me, I'm the best, but I am also the victim. You should feel sorry for me. You know, no one can ever understand what I'm going through. I am the most special snowflake of all, and you all should recognize that.
Right.
You know? Yeah. And so it's like, I don't know. And I feel like everything he does is just a stunt, self-serving publicity. And we'll talk about our power rankings later, but.
You might be got down on one knee and proposed that he
fucking hate this guy.
Give him and be friends now with the same ring he proposed marriage to earlier. What is that?
That is so weird. Dumb. He was trying to present it as a friendship ring, and it was so clear and obvious. This girl does not want to be friends with you.
No.
Like, yeah, she's going to be like,
yeah, my impression of Diamond is it took a lot of negotiation and a lot of things just to get her in the same room with him. Like, and he's up here going,
yeah.
And he put her on the spot like that, and she's like, sure, I forgive you. Yeah, we're friends now. And then he said, and now you have to hug me. Holy crap.
Right. I'm just like, you have to
put
gosh,
it on.
Like,
put it on. Hug me. Oh my God.
Oh, she was like, oh, my finger's too fat. It doesn't fit anymore. I was like,
right. It
good
was
for
rough.
You. So we find out that Diamond is going to be in a PhD program. Or she is in a PhD program. So I'm just like, good for her. Like, she'll be fine.
Good for her.
You know, but yeah. But Carlton, I don't know if he's going to be okay, but I don't care if he's going to be okay because he's saying that he's trying
to work on a lot of Carlton stuff.
Basically get a better, happiest day of his life, because the happiest day of his life was the day that they got engaged, and he's like continuously trying to top that. And I'm just like, dude, you're messed up.
He is.
Are you okay?
But everybody, a lot of the other people said they spent a lot of time working on themselves, right? And Jessica seemed to actually do a bit of self-reflection and trying to change
it.
Him working on himself is like somebody who is super full of himself, thinking that what he needs is more self-confidence. I need to be more full of myself. That's what I was missing out of my life. It's like, no, you were...
Oh, my God.
That was not what we needed to work on, Carlton. We needed to focus on some other area.
Yeah, and his fake concern for Diamond just, and I think that's why the ring thing, like, just really pissed me off. Because he's like, oh, I've been getting death threats, but I'm more concerned about the backlash against Diamond. And it's like, maybe there are some people that were anti-Diamond, but I think, based on what I've seen on social media, the vast majority of people hate you.
Right.
So I wouldn't be worried about Diamond. I would be worried about yourself.
And he totally missed why people hated him, because his initial thing is, what do you think is going on? And instead of being like, well, you know, they thought I was a jerk. They thought I was standoffish. They thought I was full of myself. You know, I was super aggressive. None of those things are what he said. He said, well, you know, people just think that bisexual people are hypersexual, and that's a problem. It's like, that was not the issue. That was never the issue.
No, that's not why people
hate you. Sexuality was never the issue.
Like, oh, people have misunderstandings of fluid people. It's like, nope, that is not why I hate you. That is not why I think you're a garbage person.
Right.
So true. Oh my goodness. So yeah, that's the end of that garbage person. All right, so let's get into our power rankings.
Yeah, since it's the last episode, we always like to do power rankings for everything. So instead of student of the week, dunce, and life lesson, we're just going to rank everybody based on, probably mostly based on how much of a garbage person they are.
Yeah, so one, I think top, we usually start from least garbage to most garbage.
That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm. So our favorites are... You know, you would think we would do countdowns, but I guess it's countdown to the bottom.
Yeah. I mean, that's what people watch shows for anyway. They watch for the bottom. They don't watch for the people on the top.
Right. So speaking of which, you probably all guessed who my number one is. And in fact, my friend who listens to this even thinks I am super thirsty for Cameron. Well, guess what? Cameron's my number one.
So my number one was Lauren. And I'm going to go ahead and just imagine who your number two might have been.
No, actually, I think really? You'd be surprised. Okay. So the reason why Cameron was my number one was because I feel like through this whole process, he was really open. He never did anything terrible. And I'm not saying Lauren did anything terrible either, but he was really decisive. Like, this is my person. This is the person I'm going to marry. And I feel like he never wavered from that.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate a person who knows what they want and doesn't change their mind.
Yeah, I guess at the end of the day, I went with mine because they were the bright star couple, right? They were the two that were on the top that everybody loved. And so there was nothing really dangerously wrong. I just was like, between Lauren and Cameron, I would rather hang out with Lauren. She just seemed like a little bit more fun.
A little
bit more laid back.
She's definitely more charismatic.
Yes.
Yeah.
Charismatic. That's a good word.
Much more charismatic. I feel like I would get along with Cameron okay.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Lauren's the person you want to go to a party with.
Definitely. Yes.
Cameron's maybe the person that you wouldn't mind getting stuck in a car with.
Sure. Yeah, I could go. You could go on a car ride with Cameron. He's not going to bother you. He'll, you know.
Right. He's not going to bother you. He'd provide interesting conversation.
Sure. He would have some sort. He would definitely make a playlist and consider you when he was making his playlist for the road trip.
Hopefully his playlist isn't him rapping. All right. So your number two then is Cameron?
My number two is Cameron. Yeah.
Okay. So I actually like Damien. I think it must have been towards the very end because I recognize there were things that Damien did that were not ideal. I don't think Damien ever did anything bad, but I do think there is something underlying, maybe something wrong with him that he chooses to deal with the crazy that is Giannina. So mm-hmm. I do think there's something weird, like, why would you put up with that crap? But I think, like, the way he handled himself, the way he handled himself with her, I don't know. I think that really showed that he's a stand-up person. Like, he never kind of, you know, sunk himself to a new level because of anything that she said. It just made her look all that more crazy. And I also appreciated the fact that he said no at the altar, and for very good reasons, and then they were still together at the end. So kind of showing that it was the right decision for him to make.
Okay, so we usually broadly agree on our rankings, and I have Damien much lower. And
oh, we'll
talk about my reasons for that when we get there.
All right. So
who's your number
two? Your number two is Cameron.
My number two is Cameron.
Yes, for boring reasons.
Cameron's just boring. Yeah. He's boring and nice, but yeah.
Right. My number three was Kenny. Also, I just feel like Kenny is incredibly mature for his age. Like, it's crazy to me to think he's 27. Mm-hmm. To me, he seems like someone who's pushing 40 in, like, his maturity level. I felt like for the same reasons why I kind of, ranked Cameron pretty high was that he was decisive. He was like, this is my person. I'm going to be all in and, like, end of story.
So my three was also Kenny. I guess the maturity level, he was even keeled. He didn't overreact to anything. He was just pretty chill the whole time, which is better than a lot of people. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So my number four was Lauren. So, and I think for me, the reason why she was lower than Damian and Kenny was just because it was only in the last two episodes where it was just like, I'm not sure if I'm going to say, I'm going to figure it out while I'm up there. And you know how I feel about like emotional decisions. It's that seems like a really terrible idea. You're going to make a life decision based on how you happen to feel like when you're up at the altar. No.
Okay. My number four was actually Diamond.
Diamond, okay,
because
sure.
She had to deal with a lot. I liked her. I really liked her in the pods, to be fair.
Yes.
It's kind of going back because she kind of fell off, right?
Right.
There was a couple things she did and said during the fight that I was not a big fan of, which makes me rank her lower. But, you know, she's another person that was decisive. Once the decision was made, she just made a decision and went with it.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. And that's why Diamond was my number five.
Okay.
For those same reasons, I felt like she was great in the pod. She definitely seemed to be the one that people went to for advice because she seemed to be like very level-headed. And even like how she handled the confrontation with Carlton during the show, I just kind of felt like that's better than I would expect anyone else to handle that confrontation because it turned nasty quickly. So, good for her.
Right. So, my number five was actually Mark.
Okay.
Because of all the flaws that he had and all the red flags he ignored, right, and everything he was doing, he was a really earnest dude. Like, he was telling you exactly what his heart was on his sleeve and his emotions were right out there. So, he wasn't pulling anything over on anybody. He was just being who he was.
Yes, I agree with you, which is why Mark was my number six. Mark didn't do anything wrong other than kind of ignoring these huge red flags.
Right.
Like, it's kind of funny to think that Mark was willing to go through with the wedding because if you recall, he's the one who said, I do, before Jessica said, I do not. So it was kind of like he was all in and it's just like, what about all these things that you clearly saw that Jessica was not all in and you would still want to be married to that?
Right.
I don't know. Like, it's not that you're bad, but I kind of feel like, you need a wake up call.
Your life choices. Yes. What's your life choices here, buddy? Right.
Right.
Plus, he wouldn't shut up about that damn Italian beef. So.
What about your number six?
All right. My number six, I was surprised at how high I put this person, is Barnett.
Okay. This is so funny. Okay. Because Barnett was my number seven.
Okay. Because at the beginning of the show, he seemed like, this is garbage guy. This is the guy who is a joker and he's playing the game and he's a player and he's, you know, doing all these tricks, playing the women against each other and playing hard to get. But once he made his decision, like, he really stuck with it and like did not bite on Jessica once at all the time she was throwing herself at him.
Yeah, no, I agree. Barnett was my least favorite. If we had to do power rankings, maybe after the first or just the pods, Barnett definitely way far down there. Mm-hmm. But you're right. Like ever since like he made the decision to be with Amber, I mean, I think it also works in his favor that they're one of the two couples that got married, you know? And so just kind of based on that, it's like, well, he says he's all in. You know, and he was, you know, in a situation where Jessica was throwing herself at him several times and he never kind of his pod behavior did not show up again.
Right. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. So, okay. So that was we're down to your number seven. So don't worry, my number seven because you're just saying one ahead of me. All right. My number seven.
That's because Damian was further down. Damian, for you. Yeah.
My number seven is Kelly.
Okay.
Okay.
That's hilarious because Kelly's my number eight.
We broadly agree. We said this at the beginning. It's just this one. We're going to have one different because I know our bottom one's the same.
Oh, and, yeah, probably.
Yeah, just, I mean, because she had the same, everybody talked about Jessica and all the problems Jessica had and how, how dare she? And she's really not attracted to him. And why is she stringing him along? And Kelly did exactly the same thing. She just wasn't drunk and throwing herself at somebody else.
Yes, very true. And I kind of also feel like she was just better at hiding it.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
The first time I saw this whole entire series, it was like, I had no, I was shocked that Kenny and Kelly didn't get married at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And then this time, watching it the second time around for this podcast, it was like I started to pick up on like these tiny little things that she would say that it's like, oh, it's kind of, I don't know, obvious, but like, oh, she was kind of throwing it out there that she just doesn't seem into him.
Right.
But if I were Kenny, I wouldn't know.
No, no. Because she was very like, I'm totally, totally into you, but I'm not really comfortable
having sex
yet. I've
had these things in the past.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she definitely tried to blame it on other things that had nothing to do with him.
Yes.
And so if I were him, I'd be like, oh, well, she's just been through a lot of shit. She just needs to get over it.
Right.
You know, and that just takes time.
That just takes time. Yeah. Exactly.
That's not me. That just takes time. Yeah. So I would have been blindsided as well.
But to be it, she appeared to, by my conspiracy theory, she told him beforehand that she was going to say no.
Yeah. Sure.
And so that also moves her up over other people.
Sure.
All right. Nine number eight then, because that was your number eight, right?
Yep. That was nine number eight.
So my number eight was Amber.
Okay. That's my number nine.
All right. So we're going to get off each other soon. Okay. Same. It does. Like you mentioned it with Barnett. It helps that she was one of the two couples that got married. Right.
Right.
But we really didn't like her in the pods. And I really didn't like all the violent threats she kept making, like throughout the whole show.
Right. I don't want to go to jail for killing you.
I will break your face.
Yeah.
It's one, because it's one thing when a, you know, petite woman says it, it comes across one way. If you just imagine one of the dudes saying that doesn't come across as, you know, endearing and fun, and I don't know what she wanted to come across as. It just comes off as like, oh, this is just scary now. So
I think for me also what kind of puts her further down is I just don't like her. She's just got an abrasive personality. Like, this is no one I would want to hang out with. You know, she's just too much. She's the one who's making it a big deal that she's like the guy's girl, you know, and she doesn't really have much interest in being friends with other girls, even though contrary to like the bachelorette party where her and Jessica were all
like
hanging on each other, practically gonna make out because they were the bestest friends. It's like, other than that, it's like, yeah, this is not the kind of, you know, person that really cares about being friends with girls.
Right. And I could see as a girl, you're like, yeah, I'm like, I don't want to bang with people who go around being like, I don't even like other girls. They just suck. Also, I can be like, well, then we don't like you either. Like, okay, fine.
Yeah. Go hang out with the boys. I do all your burping and farting and
talking
about guns.
And snorting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that too.
All right. So my number nine, and then we're going to get back even because my number nine is Damien. So I had Damien way lower than you did.
Interesting. Yeah. What's going on with that?
He just really, okay, so I really got the impression when he said no at the altar, he did not warn her beforehand. That really rubbed me the wrong way.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Right? So it almost seems to me like he was leading her on, right? And he kind of seems like the person, because he's purposely choosing a relationship with somebody that he knows is crazy. And I think he likes being the sane one and the calm one. And you know, sometimes when you go crazy, like the sane or the calm person is just antagonizing you. And it's just,
I'm sure they do set each other off.
And so they set each other off and like, and just, I don't know, the way he seems really smug to me, especially when he talks to Giannina, he gives the impression of being really, really smug and kind of gives the impression that he thinks he's better than her. And that she needs to, and that now she's the one who has to work on everything. And she's the one who tries to, what was the thing she kept saying? She tries to blow up the relationships or she.
Oh, self-sabotage.
Self-sabotage, yes. She, that's you. Yeah. That's her. Mm-hmm, yeah. And so, I don't know. He just kind of gave this fake. He just seemed kind of fake to me, I guess, is what it comes down to.
Sure. I think in my defense of why Damien was a lot higher, it was really having to do with kind of like the final like decision. And I just really appreciate that he made that decision based on what was best for both of them, not what would look good on TV, you know, like, so I appreciate that. But I do agree with you now, kind of looking back on it, it was pretty shitty that he didn't give her a heads up.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's totally a rule follower, right? And I'm sure the show told him, "Well, you're not allowed to tell her." And she was like, "He was like, okay." Whereas the other ones, I'm 95% sure Kelly gave Kenny a heads up, and I'm pretty sure Jessica gave a heads up too. Like Mark did not seem that surprised, or he could have just been not that surprised because he was like 50-50 she was going to say it. Yeah.
I kind of feel like, though, if I were Mark, that if I knew she was going to say no, that I would say no first.
Right.
Because he's the one who went first. So that's why I kind of feel like maybe he didn't know, but he was expecting it.
Yeah. He wasn't surprised. I didn't. Yeah. I'm good. If I'm 50-50 on it, it's a coin flip. I'm not going to be surprised.
So he's like,
outcome.
And I kind of feel like he was definitely mentally preparing himself for her saying no as well.
Sure.
Like the way he was kind of talking about it with his mom.
Mm-hmm. So just like always, the bottoms of a list usually come together pretty quickly. It's the it's that middle section we just got through that's usually the hardest part. So now that we're even, we have the same three left.
Right.
Right. Who is your number 10?
My number 10, actually, maybe our 10 and 11 are flipped, but my number 10 was actually Jessica.
Okay.
So the reason why I said Jessica was because she was throwing herself at another man. You could blame it on the fact that she was drunk, but she was always drunk. She said some pretty shitty things. She's done some pretty shitty things, but... why don't you talk about your number 10 before I go on?
Yeah, because my number 10 is Janina. I think you might be right.
I
think
and
you
I figured we'd
there.
Be flipped, yeah.
I mean, it all comes down to, they're both broadly, pretty shitty, and they both broadly...
In different ways, though.
Definitely, yes.
Yeah, in different ways.
Yeah,
I kind of feel like Jessica, and this is the reason why Jessica is higher up than Janina for me. Janina, it's like mental warfare. Mm-hmm. Like, she said really mean things that would intentionally... get under Damien's skin and stick with him. Like, trying to tell him that he was bad in bed and that she just didn't have butterflies for him anymore. And, pretty much trying to set up a scenario where Damien felt like he was always having to win her over. You know, like, you're not good enough for me. You know? And her crazy, as much as Jessica was Messica, her and Mark never had the kind of blowout fights that Giannina and Damien did.
That's true.
And I would argue that Mark and Damien have kind of similar temperaments, you know, and so it's kind of like, if you look at that, it's like, well, then who is starting these crazy arguments? Oh, it must be Giannina, you know? So I think kind of based on that, that's why Giannina is worse to me than Jessica.
Yeah. I mean, I think. Yeah, I guess my issue was Jessica's bad behavior was affected more people. You know, she was bringing a whole rack of people into it.
Right. She was trying to break up a whole other couple.
Yes, exactly. And so that's what put her lower than Gina, because I would never defend anything Gina did. It was already bad. I mean, we're talking about shades of bad here.
Yeah, and like we said, they're terrible, but in different ways. And so it's just kind of like, what is your brand of terrible? All right, so we both agree that Carlton's the freaking
worst,
right?
Carlton was the worst,
garbage.
And it really turned as soon as they got to Mexico, and he started
crying on about something that
even
he had already mentioned.
He had that weird attitude where he was like, oh yeah, you bad, right? And he was like, eating the strawberries in the hotel room. And he was like, why are you just being mean? I don't understand.
He was totally trying to pick a fight with her at the very beginning.
Yeah, it was weird. It sounded like flirting, but what he was saying was really mean. And it was he had this attitude of, I don't know, the best way I can describe it is it's the attitude of somebody whose neck isn't straight and they have that issue where they always tilt their head back. You know, they're looking up with their chin up and they're like, oh yeah, man, what's up? I'm too cool for this. That's right.
Yeah.
I'm just, and it was a completely different person that was in the pods.
Yeah, I was going to say, I didn't even like him in the pods. I thought he thought that he was so much better than everybody else. And it was kind of like, based on what?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you can't even see them, but it's like, he just thought he was above being there. And then he went from that, you know, to, oh, I'm all in. I can't believe, like, this experience. So it was just like, I felt like it was all for show.
Oh, it was. It was absolutely. Yeah. He had a onstage persona that he turned on in the interviews. He turned on in the pods, and he turned on at the reunion show. Like, he definitely had one persona there. And then when his guard was down and it was like more of a candid moments between him, he had a completely different personality. He was 100% acting.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, he's terrible. So, yeah, I'm glad we agreed on that.
Right. Which makes sense because he's from the couple that didn't even make it out of Mexico.
They even got to like this Not even to the altar. But yeah. For a decision. Right.
Right.
Okay, so that wraps up Love is Blind. So, let me think. They are, I think, putting together a season two, and it's supposed to be based in Chicago. So who knows? Jessica might be on that.
Yeah, maybe they'll actually.
I wouldn't be surprised maybe they'll if be Italian they brought her
beef.
Back.
Oh, no. I could see that. But they wouldn't put her back in the pods, right? They'd bring her back.
No,
as like
I mean, I think they would put her back in the pods. Why not?
Why would she go? Why would she do it? I don't understand. They could pay her, I guess, for the money. If they're going to pay her extra money.
A couple
to come
of
back.
Things. One, for the money. Two, I kind of feel like. For her to see herself look that badly on television, she would want like a redemption, and she would be on her very best behavior. She would not be drinking, and she would be like,
but she would still
look,
have
I can
to,
be normal.
But she would still have to agree to marry someone sight unseen.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
Have it
I
be
don't
somebody
she...
that she ended up marrying, because if she left somebody else at the altar, it would be no matter how it got there, that would be doubly as bad. And there's a good chance, you know. We know it. I don't care how many guys you bring in. They could bring in 40 guys. It's really easy to go through 40 guys and be like, yeah, I would marry any of them. Right?
Well, who says that she's actually going to marry them? Like, I think like her motivation for going back on the show would be one, to show everyone that she's changed. And two, she moved to LA. Like, chances are she's trying to do something in entertainment. And so more exposure on this show to kind of clean up her image is exactly what she would need.
I guess. I mean, they always do bring people back on reality shows, and I'm always baffled by it. I'm like, who wants to? I guess people do
want to
watch.
Because this person has a following, you
know?
Yeah,
this person has a following.
But
all right.
Heaven help me, they freaking bring Carlton back? Oh no. Boycotting that shit.
All right, so yeah, so I guess we'll probably put a hiatus on this particular podcast channel.
Yes,
but
only for a couple months because Love After Lockup is coming back.
Right. So we'll do that, especially because, you know, there's going to be, what, the three different series of 90 Day Fiancé on our other channel?
Oh my gosh. I know. There's a lot going on.
One we're finishing up
there.
And two that are starting. So a lot going on over there. So people should come over there and listen.
Yep, definitely. All right. So we will see you all soon.
Yes.
Well, soon being a month-ish.
A month-ish.
2 months.
Yeah. Whenever the Love After Lockup comes back, we'll be back here.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
All
Sounds
right.
good.
Okay.
Okay.
All right,
bye.
Bye.